Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, Blog Talk Radio family. This is your host, Minister Aaron D. Hubbard, coming to you live from Speak Your Mind Now Radio. Today is a real treat for me as well because I have known this guest for quite some time, and I asked her to do an interview with me. And we had some setbacks, but thank God we have finally found the day and time to be on the air together. She's a wonderful woman of God. She's a family woman of God. And she is just very, I think, in my mind, just awesome. And before we go into what God has to say through her, we're going to go into a word of prayer. God, we just thank you right now for what you're about to say to this woman of God, your daughter. God, we thank you right now for who you are. We thank you for what you allowed to happen these past few weeks and past few months at the election. God, we don't care who's in office, God, but we know that you are the controller of all things, God. But your word says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that we should pray for our leaders, God, so that they may do a good work. Now, God, I don't know what his revelation about you is, but God, we just know that no matter what happens, you know, the protests, the riots, whatever, God, we know that you are the God of all gods, the God of all grace. There is no one before you or after you, and no one beside you, God, because you are God all by yourself. God, we love you, we thank you, we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I am so elated and ecstatic to be with you this morning on this grateful day we have not yet seen, but we're so grateful to have. How you been?
I've been doing amazing. I mean, regardless of life's ups and downs, it's bruises and it's kicks, it's still amazing. So I have to look at it from a different mindset. Still amazing to be among the living. It's still amazing to know God has his hands on all that we are purposed to do. It's still amazing to be alive. It's still amazing to go through your trials and tribulations and know you're going to come out all right, because he told you even in the midst of the storm, he gives you peace, and you got to understand what peace is. So it's a great time to be alive. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah. When you said the word peace, I'm reminded of what Jesus did for Peter when he told him to come. And we all have, you know, we're like Peter. We all have people in our lives that stay in a boat kind of attitude people. You know, you can't do what that thing says do or what God says do. Stay in a boat with us. You know, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be out in the water with Christ than in a boat without Christ. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just amazing. And I was up all night last night to 2 in the morning. Just excited for the day, even watching the election results about what's going on. But, you know, in spite of all that craziness we've been going through, God is still good, and he is awesome.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I slept. I didn't wake up for that. Because I look at it as, if you sit down and listen to what's around you, there's been a cry upon this nation for a long time. And I love the pastors. I love the prophets who spoke, but we just have to admit that we heard out of self and move on. I slept because God said in this time he's going through a repositioning. And we've been speaking shift, we've been talking shift, we've been prophesying shift, but we never told how the shift was going to come. So in this, my spirit told me to go to sleep and trust him. I know people who stayed up all night and their blood pressure up right now today. Because one thing I know, what looks bad for one, God said he will bless all that believe in him. And I am a solid believer. I believe in my Father. His promises are yay and amen. So therefore, there's going to be victory even in the midst of this. But one thing I do speak upon every leader and every person, respect what's in the house. Because for you to disrespect your leader, shame and disgrace and stripping shall come upon you all. That's Bible. He said respect those in leadership and authority, for they have rule over you. So if we betray the Bible, we have just tossed out everything we taught our people. So leaders, go back into the pulpit and repent and get it right. Second Chronicles said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray, I will heal the land. The land is the body in which we live, breathe, and have being in. So you got to go back and get that body back in order. Because to speak against what was already ordained, you're going against leadership, you're going against the Bible, and you are witchcraft, and you are witches and warlocks. You got to get it right, people of God. It all starts with something simple, and this is simple. And we made big because there was never supposed to be a prostitution of a political arena in the pulpit. The pulpit is meant to preach and deliver and save lives. It's not for an arena for broadcasting political antics. and we lay all that in the house of God. So God had to wake us up to show us that he's tired. But the land is crying for blood. Who blood would it be? It's not going to be mine because I'm putting in more in God, but I'm keeping my trust in him, but putting in more in him and not man. So he can do better than man.
Wow. I got to confess, I was up watching movies, so I really went up for the election myself because I really didn't care. I haven't cared about elections since I don't know when. But so I was up watching movies and being entertained by Netflix, so I just got sleepy. But we are going to play one of your favorite songs you told me about a couple weeks ago, if not less than that, and we'll be right back.
All right.
are back. That was Latrice Crawford and Arthur. Beautiful song. That is the first time I ever heard that song. Pass, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I want to know is, how did you come to Christ? Can you tell us about that, please?
I came to Christ when I was in my early 20s. Been in church all my life. Helped my mother and grandmother in the kitchen. I could hear about where a lot of my country cooking comes from. But at the same time, I came to Christ because I was missing something. I love my father, but he was never in the home. Spent time with him when I could. But my father did what a man did. I mean, my father was a beautiful man, about 6'8", 7 feet tall, something like that. Beautiful man. He had the charisma and the love to draw anything to him. But my mom was my mom, and she did the best she could with 4 kids on her own. And there was something missing in my life, and I kept hearing people talk about Jesus and how he can be a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. And I kind of questioned how you're going to be a woman and you're supposed to be a man, but at the same time, understanding the concept. And I got saved, like I said, in my early 20s, I think 22. And then backslid because the church hurt me. And I had to come to grips when I went to church. Apostle Norbert Simmons, now he's at Deeper Life in Goldsboro. Loved that man. If he needed my last dollar, I wouldn't think about it. But he spoke profoundly that if we allow the church to hurt us, it's not the church, it's the people. And you need to put blame where it goes. And I had to go back and get that thing right. And I realized then that the church is full of habitual Christians, but not relational Christians. And when I speak that, it's a habit that they go to church and they take things for granted. But when you have a relational relationship with God, you'll start to transform inside out to the point that love generates, and you can draw anything unto him. And I always ask God to teach me how to love like Jesus did. Because what Jesus did, he may have took a break and went in the garden and said, God, if this is your will, not my will, but nevertheless your will be done. He took that sacrifice on for us that we take all for granted. And church, I never appreciated it until my mid-20s, when I realized that you're going to have people who either do it for out of habit or out of relationship. But the relationship has to be an intimate relationship. And I learned just to go to church for me. It doesn't matter if the church has 3 people or 30,000 people. I go to church for me. Because at the end of the day, I got to be accountable for what Georgette does. It ain't about apostle, it ain't about the doctor, it ain't about the title. It's about what I do as a human being. Did I do today? Did my walk, did my talk, did me existing today represent what my father did for me, what my brother did for me? And I have to say yes at the end of the day. People question it, but as long as I'm content and happy with it, my father is happy with it. So that's basically that.
Wow. Yeah, I know about church hurt too, and it doesn't feel good because. But my thing was real quick that I trusted my pastor at that time way too much, and I should have. And when he did what he did to me and my family, I took offense to it, and I was like ready to do some damage. But I think if anybody who is real for God, they don't get hurt. I mean, there's no easy road to this. God never told us it's going to be easy. Because if it had been easy, Jesus would have died on the cross for us. Well, you don't need me. What's a woman die for? You got this. But I'm so glad that it wasn't like that. I'm so glad that Jesus said, you know what, these are my kids. These are my children. So I'm taking on the cross for my sons and daughters. And I said, you are very, very, from what you told me before, educated. And that I want to give off hats to you because there's not a lot of people in the church world who are in church, who are preaching, teaching, and saved, got a family, and going to school all at once. You went from an associate to a master. And you know what? I'm going to give you,
and a doctor. I got an associate, a bachelor's, 2 masters working on the 3rd one, and a doctorate. It's all about what God wants. Yes, I got a doctorate in 2014. But it's all about what God wants. How And, you know, many of us in the body price, and like I said, I'm not trying to talk about many people, but if the shoe fits and it hurts, just say ouch. But we talk a good game, but we have no foundational components on which to wear it. We have a lot of people that do things in the name of Christendom, and we still bring other intentions. We brought what I call street, unquote, anti into the house of God. God is not a mafia God. He's not a pressurized God. He's not a hustle God. He's not a mean God. He's not my way or the highway God. There's a permissive will and a submissive will, I call it. You have a will of doing what you want to, and you have the will of doing him. And I choose to do him. And in all that I do, there has to be integrity and character. And granted, when you're doing right, people will kill you. And there comes a time that you have to take your hands off those people. Because I even laugh, I say, negative publicity is good publicity. Because if somebody's not speaking ill will against you, you're not doing something right. It doesn't matter. And I know many people won't agree with that. You can do good and be minding your business and somebody still find a way to lie on you. You can be good and doing minding your own business in your house 24/7 and somebody got to say something about you. You're different. You are stuck up. You are hot to duty. It doesn't matter. So at the end of the day, I applaud people. That means you have me on your mind more than I have you on my mind because, as you just said, my plate is overloaded. But at the same time, my character speaks louder. When I finally step out into the plateau of the arena, because God will always offer, as she said in that song, I offer him in my life, and he will always offer your steps. So you have to go in front of the face of the very ones that are killing you for them to say, wow, I shouldn't have listened to so-and-so because she's not like that. And I'm a very open person. If you ever hear anything about me, all you got to do is, A, Facebook message me. If you really know me that good, you got my phone number. So that's B. Or C, you're going to see me somewhere that you can feel bold enough to ask me. And all I'm going to do is receive you in love. And by the time the Spirit gets through talking through me and God comes out of me, you'll go back scratching your head. And you'll call them a lie. And it'll be like Saul, when he was born after David, the very sword Saul fell upon and died. And that's what the house was going back to. Those lies that everybody's running out telling on somebody. Be careful with that dagger of the tongue, because it's going to come back on you. You're going to fall on and die yourself. So we have to stay within integrity and character of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Six letter word, humble. Humble, that's fine. So, it's amazing. I mean, I just can't express this enough that how, when I hear you speak about what God's going to do in your life, I'm just at awe with it. And not to be boastful about it, but, or not to give, you know, the big head or whatever, but, you know, you agree that I got to give God his props and what he's done, doing, and will do in your life. Three-part series, because a lot of us, we get so high and mighty, we think it's us, and it ain't. And, you know, I heard
preachers. And there's one thing that we pray every day, not cutting you off, minister. We always have to pray the spirit of humility. Because
exactly.
When we start getting too big, there's a big deflate, and it's pride before a fall. And we have to be careful. I have to be humble all the time. Keep me receptive, because many of us that are givers, I've realized since I've been about to myself and by myself, that we don't know how to receive because we're so busy giving out. We have to be receptive. Reciprocal as well as giving reciprocal. So until you learn how to be receptive, you'll miss out on a lot giving. It doesn't make sense, people say, because you can give all day, but there's a cycle that goes on when you give. Giving it shall be given unto you. Is that not receiving? And many of us give so much that we don't know how to receive, that we miss and we get out of rhythm of our timing, that we question God, why are we still in this storm? So we have to pray, God, keep us humble and submissive, but at the same time, God, teach us how to receive when it comes, because we won't miss. Because many of us are so busy looking at the wrong thing that we miss the right thing right under our nose. So we have to go back into the principle of being submissive and humble, asking God to take the blinders and the fogs off our eyes. But it's okay to be like that horse. I remember Reverend Merritt from Change of Heart Ministries preached a sermon about my spiritual blinders, how they would put the blinders on the horse so he couldn't look to the left or right because he'll get off focus. Many of us really need to put those spiritual blinders on and keep our focus straight so we can get to our prize. We're so busy being nosy, we ain't seeing them. And falling down the ditch that we did digging for somebody else. So we just got to keep the humble and submissive. I keep my eyes on my house. You keep your eyes on your house. But I pray for everybody's house every morning. Ask my sister. Every morning we get up at 5 o'clock and we go ahead and give God the day. Every morning we pray for the nation and the president and every form of senator, every police officer, every hospital, every school, every business in the community gets prayed with the blood of Jesus in the fire every day. Even our children that are molested and harmed, sold into prostitution, sex trafficking, all that, we pray for that heavily and plead the blood every morning. Because that's some stuff going on in our community that we're so busy doing nothing, people of God. I said it, we're doing nothing, that so much is under our nose getting, and it can't prosper. We cannot prosper until we get back into the position of seeking God and praying.
Besides your family, who in the I don't want to say church because it sounds so relative, but who in the family of God, family of faith, if you will, has inspired you to become more productive?
Like I said, I'm my apostle, Nobody Simmons, heads up to him. Bishop Cornelius Warren out of Stantonville, North Carolina. We have, oh my God, Apostle D.L. Wallace from Atlanta, Georgia. Oh my God, I love that man with everything in me. All those top three are my headliners because they can sense when I'm down and encourage me. They can sense when I'm down and they know my downfall and don't bring them back up. So they speak life into me, and I love
that. That's
wonderful. And yes, it's men, but those are the top three. The topics are the top three. That if they need a penny, and they say they can make them a millionaire, I will give them that penny and won't look back. Because they have done so much to me, too much for me, and so much in my family, that is, well, I say speechless.
I don't know what else to say.
You have to give credit where credit is due. Apostle Simmons taught me from a child up until my adulthood. I had children under him. And then Bishop Warren worked at the school with me because I worked at Duplin County Schools for some years. And I never really tried to draw the people, but I always drew people. And that was the first one that ordained me into ministry. Bishop Cornelius Warren. And then he started going through health issues. And God has turned his life around magnificent. I mean, I can't even say the word. I want to make up a word. Magnificent, super fashion, catalytically. God has touched his life. And then you got Apostle D. Hill Wallace. I mean, that little man, I call him, in my house, he don't know this, but I reckon if he's listening, because I sent out a link for them to listen, he's called the toothpick, because that little man can look at you and speak any demon in you out and set you free, but you got to keep it. And I will always appreciate those three men. I will always applaud them because they say as long as you stay humble and stay hungry and thirsty after God, you will never fall in a trap.
Wow.
So we have to keep our eyes on God. And I've been told that, and that's how I look at it.
Okay. So God has blessed you with three, if I'm right, of your own?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're about
children
to be another, and you're about to be a third child.
Yeah, and people look at my pictures on Facebook and say, you don't look like you should have that many, but I am 43 years young. I have Carnesha, she's 25 and she's married, and she has my second grandbaby, Lauren. Cassandra, who's 23, my second child, she's due in February. And Carmelia, my 19-year-old, who's at ECU, go baby. My Callie, the one everybody see in my picture, she's 2, and that's her mom. I've been awarded some beautiful gifts, and Callie came as a great surprise. We didn't find out my daughter was pregnant with her till she was 8 months, and that was the roughest time of my life. I'm not going to lie to anybody. And that little girl saved my life. And when people say times are hard, times get hard to the point you don't even want to exist. But you know there's a blessing, and she had the blessing for me. So, and I'm still here, and I'm going to do everything God called me to do. As strange as it may seem, God has a way of pushing something out that needs you more than you need yourself. that you will sacrifice again to make sure she lives and not die. And you will live to see the process of it.
Wow. Speaking about ladies, what is Ladies in Transition about?
Ladies in Transition is taking young girls and even adult women who have low self-esteem problems, who've been raped, abused, scorned, and speaking life into them, pushing them to their greater cause of life. Many of us are still old and don't know what our purpose in life is, don't know our calling. And it's there that we sit down and speak life into them. There's a lot of journaling. There's a lot of writing. There's a lot of intricate parts that are instilled and dispelled into their life. And one thing I believe is the book of Habakkuk when it says, write your vision, make it plain. So they will have to write. They journal every day. And out of that, we start asking, what is it that they see themselves doing in life? And when they're young, it changes. Even when you're old, it changes. And it keeps changing. It keeps evolving. It keeps repeating. And it keeps changing. But there's certain words that are in those changes that you can pull out, their purpose. And many people have to be equipped. And with me having my degrees in counseling, it's a great aspect to watch their lives unfold. Because you can relate to this. In our homes, we were never told that we were going to be somebody special. We always got the repeat of the words, you ain't nothing, your mama want nothing, your daddy want nothing. To the point that you thought you want nothing until God came in and that word resonated in your spirit and told you you are greater than anything around you. So you have to take that word that God spoke into your being. Because if you're like me, the Bible speaks to you and the spirit confirms it, that you get hungry and say, okay, God, how can I come out this rubble? How can I come out this generational thing when they keep speaking I'm going to be nothing like my mama and daddy? But you are my father now. I leave the former things behind. Even though I have natural parents, you told me you were my father. So I'm supposed to be a replica of you. So if you created all this out of nothing, I'm pretty sure you can make me who is nothing out of something. So you have to take those words and germinate and make life out of them in order to know and understand who he is. And so everybody has a purpose. It's our thing to find out what the purpose is. So Ladies in Transition, which we're getting ready to work on again, is taking every broken element, every broken word that scars you mentally and emotionally and making it a positive. And yes, it's the work. It's a long working process. But I guarantee you, if you keep on, it's like a domino effect. Once you pop it and one starts falling, it all lines up in its own little rhythm of flow to give your end result a finish. And that's it in a nutshell.
That's a big nutshell.
But you think about it, there's so much emotional damage. Yeah, but there's so much emotional damage through relationships,
yeah,
through home, through work, through school, kids. And I started looking at things differently with children now. They go through so much because you think about it, they're in the house. They got a mother who's an alcoholic. Now they got a daddy who's a drug addict. You got little kids that got to be adults. That temper that they have is stemming from a way they just want to be a child. They just want to be a child, but they're having to grow up to be an adult. So you've got to relate to them. You got to ask God to give you an eyesight and a hindsight to see into their lives, a touch. Because once you get them to open, you got to be careful how you start to minister, because you can damage and destroy them some more. So you've got to be equipped to get up in this walk. Ladies in Transition is taking the emotionalism out of relationships. Because you look at some relationships these people are in, they're repeating the domestic violence. They're repeating the dating violence. They're repeating things that they're used to when they don't have to live like that.
Wow. And on that note, we're going to take a short break real quick. I'm going to give me a little bit of apple juice because my voice is about to go rash. And we'll be right back.
All right.
And I swear, man, there's no way out. We'll complete. but let's trust in the name of the Lord.
God, that he created me to be silly, because I am. I'm straight up silly. And people are like, you're so silly. I like, thank you very much. He made me. But yeah, when he said, mountains tremble at the sight of you, wow, they really do. And what you've gone through, you had many mountains to go through. But God was with you all the every step of the way. So I thank God for your life. Thank God for you, your friendship, your sisterhood/brotherhood. Chemistry. I just thank God for everything because, you know, we need each other in the ministry as far as a body of, what am I trying to say, as the human race, but as the body of Christ also. But, and I hate I don't have a half hour show plus 15 minutes because we've got like 8 minutes to go. But are there any last words you'd like to add on before we leave?
Yeah, I'm just going to tell everybody to keep your hope in God. Keep it where you know what he is. And if you lost hope, if you lost your anchor, if you feel like you're slipping and no one's there, hit your knees. Hit your knees because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not in it alone. You can reach me, like I said, through Facebook, Apostle Georgia at Ward. Message me. But at the end of the day, You have a family. At the end of the day, that person that you see in the mirror needs you more than anybody. Because if you're broken to the point that you can't function, how are you going to be functional for somebody who really needs you? So our first job is to look in the mirror and call out those things in that person that we see, which is ourselves, and deal with them accordingly. Sometimes much strife in our life is coming from within, and we need to be made whole and at peace within. But there are facets in place for God, protocol and order. He told you you will have trials and tribulations, but he gave you a promise. He said, I will be with you through it all. It's not easy, people of God, but we serve a God who understands. We serve a God of order and love. We serve a God who's not broke. We serve a God, if you put your trust in him, he shall and will deliver. People, I love Derek Alexander because he said one thing. He said he may not have money in the bank, but favor is better than money in the bank. And once you got God's favor, you priceless. And all I want to say is this. If you love God, you love you. And if you love you, you love God. And if you're single, as I am, you love you until God sends you somebody to make you. It's not about being lonely, but it's about being one with him. And you have to take those seasons. Quit running out here selling yourself short. Quit kissing all these frogs. And wait for your prince to come. I don't want the Boaz and Ruth story, because that was meant for them. I was sharing with someone this morning. I want my story. As I'm working, he sees me. He's in a position that he won't miss me. Because time out for going out here looking for a man when the man's going to be looking for me. And he won't be intimidated by what I possess. He'll quit looking at pictures and saying she's a weakling, and I can intimidate her and control her. And he can appreciate the gifts I possess. And we can enhance and build each other. That's what a relationship is. And then building each other. Making each other vulnerable and great. And being a friend. Dating. Having intimacy. All that filters and spins over into a marriage. Because if you forget who the friend in you is, you won't never understand the component of a deep relationship. Our marriage. So we have to be careful with what we do. I just don't want to get married again. I want my friend. I want a friend that I can marry. Because when times get hard, that friend won't leave you. He'll be there for you. So everything has to build upon each other to build you a solid foundation. Be true to you. Be true to God first. That way you can be true to you to be true to someone else. Love God, love you, then you can love someone else. And that's all I got to say about it.
Well, Pastor V, thank you for that wonderful, for your time on the air as a whole. We thank you for your ending words of encouragement to those who need it, because there are a lot of folks out there who are just feeling down and outright. We're just going to give God his, give him his glory, because he is so a well-deserving, loving God. And we judge ourselves, which is bad enough, but he don't judge us for what we are going through. And he loves us, and he sees what we're going through. And God, we just ask you right now, we just ask you to, God, I ask you personally to bless the woman, God, your daughter, God. You took her from birth to now, and even further beyond what she's about to see. You're about to blow her mind, Father God, and what you have called her to do. You're about to blow her mind, and what she can be a blessing to others, God, because your word says that you will pour out a blessing that we should not have room to receive. Because of that, God, we just thank you, because our cups are not big enough for what your blessings are to be. And you said, don't be selfish, but to bless those who have come in our past. Bless those who need help in finding the true living God, Father God. We just ask you right now to do what you have called us to do, but more importantly, do what you need us to do in us, through us, by us, for us. God, you are just beyond words of describing how you are and what you are to us. And we thank you. Even though we go through the good and bad times, God, we count it all joy. We don't count some things joy, but we count all things joy. Even though we don't like it, God, even we hate it, God, you said to have joy in your word, because you have joy in us. And we thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on the cross that we couldn't even fathom to be on. But he took the cross, took the nails with love, because he carried the burdens of our sins on his shoulders. That's why you turn your back on him. Because when he said to you, Father God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't that you were forsaking him as your son, but God, because the sins that he was carried on his shoulders on our behalf, because you will not let sin into heaven. And I thank you for the thief on the cross who actually condemned Christ and told him that you are the Son of God, save yourself and then save us. But the other thief, God, we thank him for too, because he said, we deserve this, but Christ did nothing wrong. He is the Son of God. And ask Jesus, when you remember me, not if, but when you remember me, God, to come to your kingdom. And Jesus responded and said, I promise you, you'll be with me in paradise. So, God, we just thank you, Lord, for your honorable love, your unconditional love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, it's Brian Poppin here. God put something on my heart just for you, that you were created for such a time. Such a time. Listen, I know it hurts. I know it's painful. I know the season you've been going through's not fun, but you're gonna make it. You can take it. Jesus on your side, you're gonna win. 'Cause I know this is your time. This is your season.